How can a terrorist fight terror? I'm starting to think the Taliban are fighting for what is right. U.S. forces should stay in Afghanistan forever to keep peace in the region. If the Americans leave the war-torn country, chaos will take over the country. Hunger and murder will be everywhere. It's a good thing that Karzai didn't side with American officials and didn't sign the deal to let them stay in Afghanistan.
Well, Mr. Korb, your perspective about some of our comments. Let's look at the signing of the security pact, which one of our viewers has mentioned, basically saying that it's a good thing that President Karzai did not sign the security pact. Your comments on that, and do you think that the next president must sign it? Will the United States allow a president to take office that would not sign this pact?
The United States basically will do whatever the next president wants. As I mentioned before, I think it's probably, in retrospect, a good thing that Karzai didn't sign it because of the fact that the next president, whoever he may be, will govern for the next 4 years, and he should make that decision and not have to live with it. In the campaign, all eight candidates said they would sign that. And I think it's important to keep in mind, going back to what your other guests said, in terms of the U.S. getting in, we didn't go in by ourselves. This was authorized by the United Nations, supported by the neighboring countries, including Iran, because they saw the Taliban as a threat. President Bush told them, if you turn over al-Qaeda, promise not to harbor them again, we'll leave you alone. They didn't. NATO approved it. The UN approved it. The neighboring countries approved it. And so we did that. And we have been drawing our forces down, okay, basically. And we basically said to the Afghan government, look, we can't, if you want us to stay, we got to make some plans now. Militarily, you can't, you know, decide on at the end of the year because the mandate expires in 2014. And we're leaving unless we have an agreement.
All right, what about that, Mr. Rozov, basically saying that it depends on whatever the next president wants? Is it really up to Kabul to make that decision, or is it definite that the United States is going to stay and would absolutely demand to do so?
We have to be realistic. The United States does not operate in the manner that, you know, Mr. Korb, and, you know, God bless his, you know, idealistic interpretation of events in the world, but they're simply not true. Let's look at the Ukraine, for example. There's no doubt in my mind that the U.S. Embassy is working right now to get the third runner, Zalmay Rasul, to throw his party, his support behind whichever the two of the front-running candidates the United States has determined should be the next head of state of Afghanistan. That's how it works in the real world, and that the U.S. will play a not insubstantial role in engineering the ultimate outcome of the election in Afghanistan. That's number one. Number two, you know, the fact that, as Mr. Korb alluded to, the U.S. and its NATO allies stepped up military forces, actually to the number of 152,000 foreign troops from 50 nations in Afghanistan, which is an historic precedent. I mean, never had that many troops from that many nations occupied Afghanistan, or any other nation for that matter. And that what we're looking at is a military network that the U.S. and company have managed to build not only in Afghanistan, but in neighboring Central Asian countries like Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. And I think the U.S. and its NATO allies, who have a propensity for interfering militarily in any part of the world they see fit to do so in, are going to be very reluctant not to continue to apply pressure on whichever government takes power in Kabul for a bilateral security agreement. We have to recall that leading up to this election, for several months, major U.S. and NATO officials have used not only harsh but threatening language towards President Hamid Karzai, essentially trying to twist his arm to sign a bilateral security agreement before the election.
Well, Mr. Korb, let's look at in general, if we're talking about, as you say, success in Afghanistan, and if the ultimate goal was, as George W. Bush said, to wipe them basically, or smoke them out the caves, and what we have seen, not only the Taliban are they now in Afghanistan, but we see these groups, offshoot groups from them now in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Syria. So how successful has the United States been in containing the Taliban?
Well, again, our fight is not with the Taliban, except to the extent that they're trying to overthrow the Karzai government, which the world community put in place. And again, we complained a lot after the 2009 election, and Karzai got very upset at the complaints because we really felt that Abdullah, the person who was the runner-up, really didn't get a fair recount. So, I mean, the idea that somehow or another we want to stay, Americans want to come home. We'll stay if you ask us to. And basically, the only thing we ask is that our men and women who are there be treated by the American justice system, which is what we do any place we have. And again, what people say we would demand, a lot of people in this country wanted us to stay in Iraq after that, but we signed an agreement, their parliament wouldn't approve it, so we left. And these other groups you're mentioning, the group that we were concerned about was Al-Qaeda with its global reach. These other groups there, they're in Syria, and they're trying to go back in Iraq. Those are groups that we would be, you know, willing to help the governments if they want us to deal with that. You know, the question, are we winning or losing in terms of, you know, the so-called war on terror? I think basically the United States is better off than it was before 9/11, but it's not perfect. There's a lot of concerns, for example, in Africa, and, you know, the French are in there. We're in there with the, you know, with the French. And we're not operating without UN authorization. I think that's a key thing. We just didn't go in like the Soviet Union did or the British. We had the international community. And when the international community would not authorize President Obama to have a cruise missile attack on Syria, he didn't do it.
What about that, Mr. Rosa? All of this is under UN OK, according to our guests in Washington. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually not true. Even as we talked 15 years ago, a 78-day air war was launched by the United States and its NATO allies against the unoffending Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. A massive onslaught that destroyed civilian infrastructure, killed thousands of civilians without a United Nations mandate. 11 years ago, a similar situation obtained in Iraq, where the U.S. and Britain and other NATO allies attacked a country without a United Nations mandate. Even when there is the United Nations mandate, as in 3 years ago with Libya, UN Security Council Resolution 1973, it has taken way out of proportion to what was actually sanctioned or mandated and used as a pretense for an ongoing war. I would also, if we had more time to discuss it, discuss the relevant UN mandates vis-a-vis Afghanistan and argue that in no way did those mandates envision, much less authorize, the stationing of 152,000 combat troops in the U.S. and NATO in that country for 13 years.
Mr. Korb, why exactly is Washington, we saw leading up to the election, prior to the election, basically twisting the arm of President Karzai? Why would the United States want to stay in Afghanistan? As you said, it's been costly financially, and of course, there have been many American service people who've been killed. Why do they want to stay?
Well, basically, and it's not just the United States, it's NATO, wants to ensure that the Afghan security forces are capable of handling the threats from the Taliban. And the Afghan security forces want us to stay. But again, let me emphasize, one of the reasons we were asking President Karzai to make a decision is because, despite what our other guest says, we're down to 30,000 troops now, and we're taking more out each month. In fact, last month was the first time we haven't had any casualties, you know, since this war began. So we're gutting out, we're drawing back to our bases, and basically we will not stay. We would like to stay to ensure that the Afghans can take control of their own future. Okay. If they think they can do it without us, God bless them.
Mr. Rosa, for your perspective, why does the United States really want to stay in Afghanistan?
You know, I discussed earlier the concept of a great game. That is, you know, the person most, in my estimate, most directly responsible for the 35-year now catastrophe of Afghanistan is Polish-born former U.S. National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, self-styled geostrategist, who is the person most deliberately and directly responsible for giving the Soviet Union its Vietnam. That's a rough paraphrase of his own words. And that if Afghanistan had to serve as the chessboard upon which he waged a geopolitical battle for the United States and its Western allies. And if the Afghan people were ultimately the victim, it didn't seem to mean much to Mr. Brzezinski. We're talking about geopolitics, and we're talking about trying to thwart the emergence of a genuine multipolar world, particularly one growing out of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, whose members and observers include, first of all, Afghanistan itself now, with Hamid Karzai having attended the last several Shanghai Cooperation Organization heads of state summits, and I'm sure his successor will attend this year's.
Okay.
But also the fact that Russia, China, the Central Asian countries, and others are involved. The U.S. would like to put a spoke in that wheel.
All right. Thank you so much, both of our guests, for being with us. Mr. Rick Rozoff, Stop NATO International Network out of Chicago. Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, Foreign Policy and National Security Analyst out of Washington. We appreciate both of you being with us. And of course, viewers, as always, we appreciate you tuning in to another debate right here at Press TV. Well, I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.